My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Football Fridays, 6 p.m., chomping on things. It's Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, bud?
Happy Friday, Nick.
Happy Friday. It is a happy Friday, yeah.
And it is a Friday, F-R-Y-D-A-Y, after last night.
Well, wasn't yesterday a Friday?
I'm giving him 2-for-1.
Hey, you know what? He did make 2. I mean, there was the home run and the squeeze.
Yeah, he earned it.
All right, so I think I thought this was a great topic. You know, sometimes you come up with a topic and you're like, people are going to love this. We're going to be split on this. And then it just goes over like a lead balloon, and that's exactly what happened with this. Which game are you more confident in getting a win in? Guardians-Tigers Game 5. Which Game 5 elimination games are tough, by the way, or Browns-Eagles?
This is a layup. The Guardians. Like, it's not even close.
They're going up against Tarik Skubal, by the way, just so we know.
Well, I'd also like to point out that they had a scoreless game in the 8th inning, having faced Skubal in Game 2. Now, granted, your best got beat. That happens. But if they can get him out of the game in the 6th or 7th inning, bullpen to bullpen, I like the Guardians' chances if that game is tied.
I will say, I think it's going to be fascinating. If you get an early lead and even get 2 runs, whether Hinch has a quick hook on Skubal or whether he rides with him, I don't know that A.J. Hinch even knows what the answer to that would be. So then we'll get to the fun that we get to talk about.
I don't know if I call it fun.
Is Deshaun playing for his job this week?
No, I don't think he's playing for his job this week, no. Is he playing for the Browns season this week? Yes, 100%. Because even though I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. If they lose on Sunday, the season is over. They don't come back from 1-5. But they have too much invested in this financially, obviously. We all know what the situation there is. But then I think the season becomes about trying to find something, anything, to get this guy back on track so that you can build toward 2025. Otherwise, the entire house burns down, and then come 2025, you have to find something else, right? So I don't think he's playing for his job at all. He's got the job. They're paying him a lot of money not to do his job well, which is what's happening right now. And so they got to find a way to get something, anything, out of this investment.
So I'll be honest, I thought you were on team bench Deshaun. Am I wrong on that?
No, I am. I'm all about benching him, but I have to speak from reality. He's done nothing to stay on the field other than just his contract. Similar to, at least from my standpoint, I don't think he's done anything to be named a team captain, yet he's a team captain. So just the situation is what it is. Should he be benched? Absolutely. Does Deshaun Watson give you the best chance to win on Sunday? Probably not. But they're going to keep rolling him out there from just where I believe the organization is on this.
Would you agree that the term to maybe describe Deshaun's performance against the Raiders 2 weeks ago was decent?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't great. Great would have been him winning the game. That's great. It was decent. It was a serviceable quarterback play. But it wasn't good enough to win the football game.
So, with that, they're 1-4 now. If Deshaun is decent, meaning we're talking consistently decent Raiders-level football game with 12 games to go, do the Browns still sneak into the playoff picture?
No. Because I just think the hole's too deep already. And looking at the schedule, the easy part's gone. And yes, the good news is here that they go into the AFC part of the schedule here once they're done with Philadelphia. But I just feel like the hole is too deep. And it's at 1-4, it's going to be tough to recover from. And if they go to 1-5, that's almost insurmountable. That means that they can only afford to lose at most two games the rest of the way. And considering the level of the competition, they might lose two games in the next three games. So, I don't think that this is a playoff contending team even right now as we speak.
So when does it become DTR time? Is that December, if this thing? And what does that look like, by the way? Like, how bad does it have to get? And at what point does that become a real conversation?
It's a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
Well, that's kind of how this thing's set up, is I have a good question.
I understand, but the reality of the situation is that the focus is on getting Deshaun right. I don't think that they're right now thinking about when can we put DTR on the field. That's not the announcement the Browns are waiting to make for the right time to make it. So I think that right now, they just got to find a way to get serviceable, decent play out of this guy to justify sticking with him. Because to your point, right, if it keeps going in the direction that it is going, it really becomes difficult to look the folks in the locker room in the eye and say, yeah, Deshaun Watson gives us the best chance to win. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston's giving the pregame pep talks and doing whatever else behind the scenes to, keep everybody's spirits up.
When should we be concerned that Kevin could end up losing the locker room because of the way the season's going, in part with Deshaun and all this stuff going on?
Well, I'd say sticking with Deshaun, you risk losing the locker room. But it's through no fault of Kevin's. It feels to me like he's powerless to stop it, right? The train's rolling down the tracks, and there's only so much Kevin can do to slow the momentum down and apply the brakes, right? We can talk about changing play callers and quarterbacks and everything else, but the theme coming out of the locker room this week was fairly simple, and it just comes down to the players executing. The play calling doesn't matter if we can't go out there and execute what's being called. I think that, Stefanski's in a tough place because he is the head coach and everyone assumes that he has absolute power. And I don't know that that's the case right now.
And it's funny because I think something that unlocked, and I heard Ken say it today, is I actually think people assume Kevin has no power. And I think that's where I kind of guffaw and say, like, I don't think Kevin has absolute power. I think the way this is set up is that there are, what, four columns of true decision makers? It's Andrew, it's Kevin, it's Paul, it's Jimmy Haslam. So I think what's interesting is people are painting a picture.
Can I pause you there for a second?
Yeah,
it's not just Jimmy Haslam. I would say it's the ownership group. That's how they're organizationally set up.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why you say Jimmy, just because he's kind of like the face of this thing. But D. Haslam, J.W. Johnson, Whitney Johnson, like it is the ownership of the Browns is more a collaborative effort right now, more so than it's just Jimmy Haslam is sitting atop you know, everybody else. Does that make sense?
It does. It's working out very well. but no, I mean, so I think like, okay, if you want to throw in Dee Podesta in the ownership group, yeah, I'm sure that that whittles down some of the power that Kevin has and Andrew has. I think this idea that he's just, I don't know, a patsy. He's somehow like a Manchurian candidate meant to look good and not answer questions in practice or in like, I feel like that's more where people seem to be painting with Kevin instead of people like me who, you know, I think the conflation is that I somehow think he has absolute power.
Right. And I'll say this, and you know, I don't think you can entertain the fire Stefanski conversation that some people do want to have, even if it might be a vocal minority right now. Unless he does have that, right? You can't hold people accountable that don't have control of the entire operation on their own, right? So I think that from an accountability standpoint, and that's why I feel like there's some other things that they can do, and maybe they will do. You know, maybe Kevin says, fine, you know what? I'm going to give up the play calling to Ken Dorsey. You came in to help us get this thing on the track. It's a complete disaster. Here, you handle the play calling, and I'm just going to sit back and watch the place burn down. And because I think ultimately that's what's going to happen anyway, regardless of what they do. And really the, for me, the tangible move is to make a quarterback change. But again, you, risk completely destroying what is left of Deshaun Watson. If there is anything left in Deshaun Watson, hope that makes sense.
Daryl, one more before you go, just because, you know, there was a report by the Northeast Ohio Transportation blog about the timeline here and whether time has run out for the Browns on the lakefront there. I don't want to jam you up if you're kind of in the midst of putting this together. I am curious.
It's been put together for a month. I just can't publish it.
Okay. So do we
have... That makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. Do we have maybe a timeline on when a stadium decision could be unfurled?
I think that I think the decision has been made. It's just a matter of when the Browns are prepared to ultimately let the world know what everyone knows they're probably going to do anyway.
Just win that game, I guess.
Yeah. Well, certainly I think that the performance on the field doesn't help, but there is a lot of moving parts with this project. I mean, you're talking about a near $4 billion dome and development project. Next to the airport there are a lot of moving pieces and parts, and certainly you don't want to announce something without having all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and stuff like that. But what I can tell you, I don't think anyone will be surprised what the final decision.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Browns arrive at when it comes to where they want to play football in 2029.
And they're clearly moving this team to Baltimore, too. Daryl.
Well, Baltimore can have this team. Can we get the Ravens back?
Wait, will we have to call them the Ravens?
No, we just swap rosters. You have them. We'll take we'll send the entire Browns organization to Baltimore, and we'll take that organization back.
What's the kicker? Because I'm going to say, I think you need to sweeten the pot a little bit. Is there
the kicker? Is that the Ravens are very consistent in their on the field success. So if you can transplant that back to Cleveland, and then we give what's been here for 25 years to Baltimore, you know.
No, but what are we throwing in to sweeten the pot? Because I'll be honest with you. I think just...
Hey, they get to keep the name Ravens. They get to keep the logos and all that. They can keep all that.
Wait, what about like...
We do to them what they did to us in 1995.
I just think they're going to say pass. I'll just be honest with you.
I wouldn't blame them, but it's worth a shot.
Daryl, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You as well, buddy. Daryl Ryder there, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come back, something got me thinking. Actually kind of blew my mind because I realized I learned something about myself, and sports made it happen. 92.3 The Fan. The Utah Hockey Club, which I maintain is the laziest and dumbest name. I know it's a placeholder. I don't care. It annoys me. The name is the Yeti. All right? They've got several other... Oh, the Utah Outlaws. Forget that. Oh, the Utah Chupacabra. That one I made up. Although that'd be a pretty boss-ass name, given the Kraken is also in existence.
The Venom as well.
The Venom.
Name,
so. Yeah, okay. I get snakes. By the way, why would you want a team called the Snakes on Ice? It's a cold-blooded creature. Have you not thought this one out? What, is the snake going to sit in the stands and spit venom at you and hope it's real accurate? Listen, the point is, the Utah Hockey Club had their inaugural game earlier this week, and they sold $120,000 worth of beer during that game. All right, that sounds about right. Right, like that honestly sounds a bit like rookie numbers to me. I feel like when I go to a game, I spend $150,000 or $120,000 on beer just for me and maybe one for Ness. But okay, but it turns out that is the most sold for an NBA or NHL contest held at the Delta Center ever. Why is that noteworthy? The Jazz have played at the arena since 1991. And so it actually, the way, this is one of those things where I started thinking about whether or not this was a real accomplishment. Because as we know, there are pretty peculiar laws in Utah about when and where you can imbibe in alcohol. And the more I thought about it, the more it made total sense to me. Does anybody, am I the only person, because I'm going to start here, am I the only person who... The amount of alcohol I consume depends on the pro sporting event I'm at. Because I'd never thought about it like this before.
Honestly, when you frame it like that, yeah, for me, absolutely. I mean, for a sport like hockey where you have the intermissions in there as
well. It's a drinking sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I went to the Chicago game, I went to Chicago-Columbus in Chicago, which, by the way, the Hawks have a ridiculous... That's not a good team. And the environment in that place was amazing. Now, it's also incredibly expensive to watch a booty-cheek team take on an even more booty-cheek team in a game that the hockey was not good. But I digress. It was for two teams that stank on ice, it was fantastic. But in the time that I was at the game, I probably had 12 beers from start to finish, which for you might sound like a lot. For me, as really it doesn't get your boy where he needs to go because we are heavy set. But and I'm also Hungarian and Irish, which guarantees I'm likely to be either the nicest or meanest drunk you've ever met. 50-50 given my blood there. But so then I started thinking about like, okay, when I go to an NBA game, and I realized, I like one or two beers, and it's not the price. It's the environment. Like, one, I tend to drink more, consume more alcohol. Drink more makes me sound like an alcoholic. But I tend to drink more at, like, blue-collar events. Like, hockey is an incredibly blue-collar sport. And if you've ever been to, like, a really good, like, the Blackhawks have in their in-game presentation, a lot of energy, a lot of lights, a lot of noise. They do the song, the Fratelli song after they score a goal. It is like a giant party. NBA games, yeah, it's loud. NBA crowds kind of suck. Like, unless it's like playoffs, Cavs are a little different if it's like a really good game, like if LeBron's in town. But like if it's like Cavs, Pistons, because that's top of mind. or if it's like Cavs, like team, like a game that you should just out and out win, even if it's a close game, there's just a malaise. There's just kind of a weird like thing that settles in. And what's interesting is the NFL is another venue where hypothetically, I do the drinking before the game. And so when I go in, it's more of a, I'm just trying to maintain whatever buzz I got. You know what the, you know this, because I thought about this. When it comes to, and again, 216-474-0092, does how much you drink depend on the type of pro sporting event you're at? Meaning NHL from MLB, NFL from NBA. I do think out of all the pro sports that I've gone to, I think the NBA is the one that I just don't drink hardly at all at. It's just not one I usually, that's actually a pretty decent spot to take my kid. And so I don't tend to imbibe as much around my kids. I tend to drink more when it's like me and my buddies are going to a game than anything. But then it's just the environment is too stale. Baseball games, that is my second most though. Which, it's great environment, but it's for a totally different reason. It's outside, it's usually warm weather. You drink, you eat, just the amount of salty stuff is insane. So that drives the consumption. It kind of blew my mind, Mac.
I was going to say, too, because NBA, like, covering the games, everything like that, too.
You shouldn't drink when you do that.
No, okay. I don't.
Just making sure.
But I'm just saying, during the timeouts, like, even that, like, it's so much more condensed, and the game is already fast-paced enough to where if you go at the wrong time and you're waiting in the wrong line, all of a sudden, then, you're missing 2, 3, 4 minutes of the game. And so, at that point, you're just missing out on more and more time, whereas, I mean, baseball, it's a little bit slower, obviously, because you have, like, each individual pitch. And on top of that, you also constantly have people walking up and down the aisles that are, you know, trying to sell you beers, as well as going out to the concession stands.
By the way, Robert on Twitter saying, wait, a bunch of Mormons spent $120,000 on alcohol at a sporting event? I think this is where this is the perfect litmus test, because they have had the Jazz there since 1991. So the idea that now the only thing we're missing here is how much it cost per beer, right? This is not a per unit stat, which I probably would be more interested in knowing a little bit about. It's either that or the owner of the Utah Hockey Club is just just on a grandiose level overcharging people for beer. You can't put that one out there either. But yeah, go Mormons. Go Mormons on this one. I mean, not historically on a few things, but specifically on this one, I'm proud of them.
Now, I'm looking at front office sports article from talking about the game and the feat that they had. $14 to $16 for a 20-ounce beer.
Sounds about right. Ooh, I'm trying to think. Because, again, I just went in March. Yeah, I think I said 12. That's conservative, too. Because we had Chicago Dogs. We put back. The food is another thing. Like, how much you eat, it allows you. This is like the worst thing. If there's a kid listening, don't do this. This is bad. I'm saying this purely from ideological standpoint. It's hypothetical. That's what it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I paid $14 a beer there too. Not that good a beer. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was okay. I clearly kept going. It was good enough, just good enough, in fact, but maybe not worth $14 a pop there. Beer does just hit different in baseball. Dennis in Cleveland, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, Nick, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Well, I love Daryl. I love G. Bush, and I love you. I like to call you Nicky Six. I hope you don't take offense to that.
He's skinnier than me, so I do not.
That's funny. So my 10-year-old daughter, almost 11, she and I were at game 2. And that was a great game, and we witnessed the, you know, it was great until it wasn't, mm-hmm. obviously. And we're going tomorrow. And she's got a sore throat. She doesn't have strep. But she's toughing it out. And, not to be really dorky, but I hope the guards tough it out. Because, like, from a selfish standpoint, I want her – she witnessed – you know, just a gut-wrenching bomb in the ninth. And I'm hoping they can pull it out tomorrow. And I actually have a You know, they played really well considering the fact that they're playing against the best American League pitcher who's going to win the Cy. And it was 0-0, and everybody had said, hey, you know, if they keep it close, they can win. And they didn't, but Class A has been, you know, a little like, you know, nerve-wracking. And everything you said about how you felt last night, me and my daughter were sitting watching it, doing the exact same thing, screaming and yelling, jumping up and down. Hey, everybody else, be quiet. We're trying. But I am positive about it. I really am. And knowing that I can call in and talk to you if it doesn't work out is really helpful.
Well, I'm here for you on that one, buddy.
Well, I love you, buddy, because this is a great show.
Oh, well, thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate that. Dennis, bring us home that dub, okay?
Regards.
Thank you so much. So, we got like two more minutes in, and I just want to sit there and can we just replay that call like twice? It's like the Matthew Boyd thing. Like, sometimes it just makes you feel good. I was like a schmuck talking about how much beer do you drink at MLB games versus NHL games and NBA games and NFL games, and Dennis just brings that. I wonder if he just says that on air, and then he goes like to his buddies, and he's like, God, I hate that fat ass. God, but he'll let me on air occasionally, but I hate that guy. No, it was very nice of him to say. I do think, I feel as good as I can feel about an elimination game. I do. And listen, if you're asking how much of that is because we just won game four, fair question. They have an obvious advantage, but if game four was a symptom, because to me, it's not always, we've had this conversation with the Browns, it feels like all year long, there's do you win, and there's how do you win or lose. If the offense is waking up, even if Josh Naylor is going to go ahead and give us Josh Naylor moments there, with big at-bats there, and swinging as if he was trying to hit a 5,000-foot home run, even if that's true, if Hosey and Kwan can do what they did, and really, David Fry too, if they can get guys on, do the little things, even if you don't get a home run against Skubal, man, I got to say, I'm just so excited to see what they do. Because I think this offense, if this offense is waking up, I'm going to continue to come back to this. If game four was the symptom of this offense opening up, and that they can actually take another step forward offensively against the Yankees, and win the whole damn thing. If you beat the Tigers, people are going to say, well, they should have been here. This is where beating the Tigers nationally, people are going to discredit this kind of win, even if it's a beautiful Game 5 win. You beat the Yankees, there's not going to be anyone discounting you. And I don't know they can do it. I hope they can do it. I thought a lot about whether they can do it. But, man, if you could beat the Yankees and then you go beat Frankie Lindor in the World Series, if that's the path forward, or the Dodgers, if you could beat two $300 million teams, I got to say, a lot of people take it to mean it as like this is how you win in baseball in general. No, it'd be the anomaly. Not very few teams are going to be able to do this consistently. I'll still take the first championship that we've seen since I was almost negative 40, which means that it's been almost 40 years since they also haven't won a World Series since my birth. Not great, Bob. 216-474-0092. How you feeling about Game 5 in Cleveland tomorrow? One more segment on the way for you guys on 92.3 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.